You know the story very well, how that after the Declaration of Independence was signed, those men became accountable for signing that declaration. Our freedom came at great expense, much pain, and untold suffering. A very similar thing happened years ago in heaven. I don't suppose the details are that necessary because God doesn't give them to us. But somewhere back in time, Lucifer began to go through heaven and make the charge that God was cruel and demanding, that God was not just and merciful, but that he was mean and stern and commanding, and he could be a better leader. Because of that, war broke out in heaven. Satan lost. Revelation 12 tells us a third of the angels came to the earth with him. Adam and Eve fell under the penalty of sin. Satan therefore charged before God that the earth was his. The earth belongs to me now, he said, because Adam and Eve do not obey you. They do not worship you. God had to make a decision. They had already discussed it. Details had already been formulated. God would do the exact opposite of what Lucifer had done. God would not make allegations. He would prove who he was by a demonstration. You see, Satan is a self-seeking personality. He is a selfish being. Lucifer used that art of deception to deceive angels and men. But God would not be part of that type of an arrangement. My humanity comes out when I think to myself, I wish God would have just put his thumb down and just stopped it when it very began. But God's ways are always better than man's ways. And outside of our world are other worlds. God would demonstrate a self-sacrificing love that in the end, even though much pain and suffering would take place, it would prove to be the best method. The chain of communication had been broken between man and heaven because of sin. The family could no longer communicate and talk and fellowship as they once had. Satan's plan is always self-seeking and selfish, while God's plan is always self-sacrificing. The self-sacrificing law of God is the law of life, and it would be demonstrated by Jesus. Somewhere back in time, as they had their meeting, Jesus had said, "If man sinned, I will die." Someday I want to sit down with Jesus and have some clarification on this. I've been studying some material by Jones and Wagner, and it's part of the Pioneer series of books that I'm reading. I know how man is made righteous. But in order for Jesus to become man's Savior, something had to happen to him. It is true that in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But something happened between the courts of heaven and his resurrection. I think I know where. I don't understand all of how that it took place. But Jesus had to become man's Savior, if I understand it correctly. Now, I have a teachable spirit, okay? But it seems to me that when man was created, the self-sacrificing love, it was there. Already predetermined that he would die. I know my own character. I might fool myself, but I would not want to volunteer in an army in which I knew for sure I was going to die. Would you? At least give me a chance of shooting back or something. It was predetermined. He volunteered that he would come to the earth. He did it. He left the splendor of heaven with all of its glory, with Satan and his armies watching. At the appropriate time, he came to the earth. Matthew 21:21 takes place. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. As a baby, he wasn't really qualified to be our Savior. And this is where some of the theology gets a little bit questionable here. I don't understand it all. And I'm still learning. But it seems to me that he had to earn the right to become our Savior. First of all, he had to live the right kind of life. And then he had to sacrifice his life. He had to die to be our Savior. In the exact opposite of behavior that Satan demonstrated was the character of Christ. Christ says, I will give myself. He is self-sacrificing. Whereas Lucifer is self-seeking. He wants everything his way. And he will bring hurt and pain and sorrow in order to obtain it. We follow Jesus' life. Wonderful life. He was a master at everything he did. Perfect. And then in the mockery of a trial, he allows, and I say that word very boldly, he allowed himself to be condemned, carrying the cross toward Calvary. Through the events and circumstances, his humanity was breaking down. He could not bear up to the load. They brought in Simon, who showed compassion. Bruce, you were praying in your sermon today, in your prayer, about compassion and condemnation. Jesus was a condemned individual. There was very little compassion. At Calvary, at the place of crucifixion, there was a group of women by that time who had gathered around, who had brought their children to Christ, and others had been healed, and that group was openly showing their compassion for Christ. But there had been none, very little, on the way to Calvary. He was condemned, placed on the cross, and he allowed himself to be there. Now, the cross is complete. But if circumstances had not occurred before the cross, he would have only been No, I cannot say he would have been just another individual, because there was nobody like him. But before he got to the cross, Scripture tells us that on him was laid the iniquity of us all. You who have studied about the second death understand. He had to suffer the penalty of the second death, among other things, total separation from God the Father. Scripture says, He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I want to sit down at His feet someday and have Him explain this to me in simple language. How that He was able to take on the sins, not just of my life, but the sins of the whole world. We try to define the question, how was He made righteous? And we try to do that by explaining how we are made righteous. We are made righteous because He was righteous. Sounds like we sort of pass the buck around, don't we? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him, or declared that he was righteous. I'm reading a book on E.J. Wagner. Some very interesting things in that book. I'm convinced that Christ earned the right to become the Savior. It could not be conferred upon Him. He had to have the experience. We have it made compared to how He became our Savior. You notice in the bulletin today, the title is All of You. There's much, much more to this subject. And what we do here today, as we drink the wine and we eat the bread, this is our way of signing our name to His document of spiritual freedom. And in the first celebration there of the Lord's Supper, from His lips came the invitation, all of you drink of it. That comes because He doesn't want any of the disciples to be lost. He wants the family to be complete. And today I would graciously invite you to think about the privilege that we have through the authority of Scripture of being called brethren. In Hebrews 2:11 it says that He is not ashamed to call us brethren. Well, why not? It's because we too share in the wonderful plan of redemption. We share in the story of salvation because we are willing to say, Lord, I'm not selfish. I don't want to be self-seeking. I don't want to be selfish. I want to be self-sacrificing like You. And even though the model here of salvation is corporately, it's for all the world, really. He's not willing that any should believe. The result is that we would imitate only one, and that would be Christ. today, as we think about what Jesus has done for us and we prepare for the foot washing and we prepare to eat the bread and drink the wine here, it is a celebration of what Christ has done. But must we leave out what he's doing now for us and what he's going to do in the future? I hope not. Scripture tells us that he's entered into the presence of God now for us. And it tells us that he's coming back to redeem us. And I can't wait. I get excited about that taking place. Loving Father, thank you for the wonderful story of self-sacrificing of Jesus for us. We understand this is a mystery of Christ in the church. We want to experience it as much as understand it. Lord, this day, take our sins, let them be washed away. Let us believe in the affirmation of salvation, and let us rejoice in the freedom we have to imitate one, you as our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.